The Chris Burns Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Hey, welcome to the Chris Burns Show. So excited to join you today. I hope your Sunday afternoon is going well. If you want to be part of the show, it's 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 to be on the air today. And so much going on. Listen, have you ever had, I'm sure this doesn't apply to most of you, I'm sure you can't identify with this, so many of you will go on to whatever else you're doing, but have any of you ever experienced financial stress in your relationships with your significant other? Have any of you ever experienced an unbelievable amount of just dysfunctionality, and it seems like it's related to finances? I want to know, how did you get through that, or how are you getting through that? Or are you sitting in it right now? What are you doing about it? Because every study out there shows that finances are the number one cause of stress in relationships. Okay, SunTrust actually did a study on this a few years ago, finding that over a third of people that responded said if they were having stress, the stress was about finances. So I know that so many of you can identify, because I can identify with this. This is a core, common, normal part of every person's relationships with their significant others. Usually we think about it in marriage or someone that you're dating, somebody you're living with. We also see it between parents and children, etc. But finances can be a massive stressor in your relationship. So I would love to know, what are you doing about it? How have you worked through that stress? And again, or what are you sitting in it right now going, I don't know. I don't know how to handle it. Would love to hear from you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. Because friends, remember, the point of this show is not primarily just to talk about what's going on in the headlines, as important as that is. It's to filter that down and say, what's actually going on in your life? And I've seen this. So many folks that I get to sit down with and walk through planning with are dealing with this at the core of their relationship. And we want to come in and just talk about, well, how do we make more money? How do we increase our investments? How do we make sure that our insurance situation is good? How do we make sure we're not going to run out of money in retirement? All those are incredibly important questions, but sometimes at the very core, there's just the reality that we don't agree about money and it's not working. So how do we fix that? And I know a lot of you understand this and are dealing with this simply because that same SunTrust survey said that the numbers, the percentage of people struggling with this actually spikes way higher when you're in your mid-40s to mid-50s, which was kind of surprising because you would think that it'd be mainly folks maybe in their 20s or 30s that are feeling deep stress because they're young, you're just getting married maybe, you're just in that serious relationship, you're not maybe making as much money, and so the stress is really high. And certainly, when I was a young married person, there was a ton of stress around this. And yet, the study actually shows folks in their 40s and 50s are dealing with a higher level of stress on this. Folks that might have been married for a number of years, and you go, why? Well, because maybe they have kids going to college. Now they're thinking seriously about retirement. The stress starts to really build and compound. And I know that it's something that I have faced and tried to deal with. I know it's something so many of my clients have faced. Again, if you are facing it, or if you have advice for others that you know are out there right now that are facing it, certainly, if your spouse is not in the car with you, this might be a good time to call. It's 404-872-0750. So I had a client come into my office just in the last number of months, okay? So they were a new client in our office. They came in and they said, we have a massive issue here. Okay, they knew they had an issue, but they didn't know how to talk about it. And so their story was totally fascinating to me because as we dug into it, it goes to the core of this issue, which is for any number of reasons, whether it's because of debt that you're facing, these are stress points you might have, whether it's because you brought debt into the relationship or you have debt in the relationship now that you didn't have before, Maybe it's personality issues. One of you is a spender. One is a saver. Maybe it's power dynamics. One of you stays at home. The other one works. Or one of you makes a whole lot more than the other person. All of these things can cause deep stress in our relationships. What do we do about them? Well, in this particular case, this couple had been married for a decent amount of time, maybe 6-7 years. And early in their marriage, one of the spouses made more money than the other. And in fact, the one that made more money, in the midst of making more money, her husband lost his job. And so suddenly he wasn't making any money. It all fell on her. She was working hard. She was doing her best, but they were struggling to pay the bills. So she actually took out a decent amount of debt to help the family make it. And she didn't want her husband to feel shame about that. So she didn't tell him about the debt at that point. She just took the debt out, because she knew that's what they needed in her mind. And she was very logical. We need the money. This is what we're going to do. And she didn't want him to feel shame because he was out looking for a job, etc. Well, fast forward a little time. Suddenly he gets a job, and it's not just that he's doing okay. Suddenly he's doing really, really well. He's making over $500,000 a year. Whereas she had been making, you know, a little bit under $100,000, which is great. He suddenly is blowing up, doing incredible amounts of money. And yet they had never really dealt with the debt question, because that debt from the time when they were struggling was still hanging over them. Now, let me pause for a second. A lot of you listening right now hear this and go, well, if he's making all that money, of course they should just pay it off. Outside, objectively, you're like, they just pay off the debt, they'll be fine. But that ignores the reality of the deeper issues going on in the relationship. Deeper in the relationship is this feeling on her part that this is my debt. It's debt that I took out. I made the choice to do it. It's my responsibility to take care of it. I'm not going to have him pay for it. I have to take care of it. That came from years before she ever met him. Just what she was taught by her family, some really healthy things about you have to be personally responsible, you have to own your situation, etc. But it gotten to the point where by the time they sat down with me, they had tons of debt, and also because of all the money he was making, a significant amount of money just sitting in a savings account that could have paid off the debt. But the reason they didn't pay off the debt was because she refused to let him do that, because she said, it's my debt. I've got to take it on. So literally when they walked in, she had a spreadsheet for how am I going to pay off all this debt? What am I going to do to make sure that we pay it off? And she had a plan for paying it off over years while he's sitting there with the cash in the bank to pay it off. And over the course of 2 or 3 conversations, we were able to say to them, hey, look, this is something that you guys got into together. And when he was struggling, when he was not in a good place, you stepped in and you took care of it. And that's why you have the debt. And he recognizes that. So now you have the ability as a family to pay it off, and yet we can't communicate about it because it's hitting these deeper issues of what do we believe about money. And in their case, we were able to start that conversation. We were able to sit and say, well, look, you know what? You're actually losing money overall because you're sitting and paying 18% interest to these credit cards when you could be paying them off and saving more money for your future together, because in the end, it is your future, right? It's something that you guys are pursuing together. So they were able to have those conversations, and it was one of the neatest things to watch them go from gridlock on this issue, where they felt like there's no way forward, there's nothing, you know, we're just going to have to wait 3 or 4 years for her to be able to pay off this debt, for us to really see forward movement, to the point where she said, you know what, no, I see this. I see that it's our money. I see that when he was struggling, or when we were in trouble, I was willing to go above and beyond. And now it's flipped and he's able to do this. And this is something that we're doing together. Now, I'm not saying there's one right template for this. But the reality is, I know that many of you listening right now are sitting in relationships where money is a deep cause of stress. And maybe the biggest issue, one of the largest things that you're facing, is the fact that you don't know how to talk about it, that you don't know how to communicate about this, or that every time you do communicate, up pops all sorts of baggage from the past, which keeps you from coming to solutions on it. So again, if you're in that place, or if you're someone who has gotten through that, someone who has maybe been married for a long time, or in a relationship for a long time and you found ways to communicate about these issues and actually find forward progress, because there's not just one way to do this. Would love to hear from you. Again, 404-872-0750, because I think so many people are impacted by this. In fact, the American Psychological Association in this specific situation says 3/4 of Americans, okay? 3/4 of us, 75% of Americans are experiencing financial stress at least some of the time. Nearly 1/4 of us are feeling extreme financial stress. And when we feel stress, we start to isolate. Last week, we talked about debt at length, and I was so appreciative of so many of you that were able to reach out and talk about your struggles with debt. Well, debt, whether it's debt or whether it is, you know, something entirely different, again, because you're a spender, the other person's a saver, or because you brought into the relationship one expectation and they brought something else, or because your family has a lot of money that you're going to inherit and your partner's family doesn't. All sorts of things could be at the root of this, but in the end, the question is, how have you figured out how to work together to make this something that's a strength in your relationship versus something that's tearing you down? Because so many couples that I meet with, this is a core area, and it's not just hurting them financially because they can't find progress. It's actually hurting their overall relationship. I can identify with this. I've struggled with this. My wife and I have really worked hard and failed many times and are still working often on trying just how do we figure this out and do it right, because it changes as you get older. Again, there is a misconception that it's the 25-year-olds and the 30-year-olds that are the main people struggling here, when in reality, often it's when we're in our 40s and 50s that we really start feeling the pressure, because the expenses rise, the pressure of what are we going to do about retirement rises, and sometimes these issues can become something that's out of control. We don't know how to deal with it. So if you're in that place, we're going to come back with some practical tools for what can you do about this, but would love to hear how you've handled it. Again, that's 404-872-0750, because I think your stories of knowing what have you done to walk through this? What have you done to make progress in your relationship if this has been a struggle before? Because it's a struggle for so many of us. How can we become better at having honest, real conversations and actually making forward progress in this specific area?
Follow Chris Burns on Twitter at CW Burns for more.
It seemed so perfect when you were dating. She's just a free spirit. He's disciplined. I love how disciplined he is. And then 10 years later, 20 years later, she's always spending all the money we have. We can't save anything. And he's totally thrifty. He never lets us go on vacation. We don't ever go out to eat. Have you seen this in your relationship? I certainly see it. Those things that attract us to the other person so often up front become things that over time, suddenly it's like, holy cow, who is this person? How did they bring this in? I had one client that I worked with that was dealing with this exact issue, where it was, you could tell they loved each other deeply, and yet festering under the surface for decades was a feeling by the wife that the husband never was willing to spend any money on anything. And the husband felt like the wife was always trying to spend all their money, and they had never come to an agreement about this. Have you felt this way? If you can identify, the number's 404-872-0750. It's 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'd love to have you on the Chris Burns Show. In this case, this client was fascinating because they came in, and this is where I've seen the most growth with people, and I've seen the most growth in myself, honestly, is that so often we base how we feel about this on our guts, on just experiences we've had that have been negative, not on actual data. And that can make a massive difference. So let me give you, for instance, this client that came in where it was literally, he's just always, you know, trying to keep us from spending anything. And he felt like she's just spending all the money all the time. And if she could, she would spend it all. We wouldn't have anything for retirement. We would be destitute. We started looking at the actual numbers. We started tracking their actual expenses. And so for one thing, we actually saw where is the money going. And here's the amazing thing. Most people, when we start tracking our expenses, we're both surprised. Both you and your partner are surprised by the actual data. Suddenly it's not just black and white that you, the other person, are the problem. Now we can see there's mutuality here. But even more than that, in this couple's case, they needed to see that they were going to be okay. Because the husband had a deep fear, we're not going to be okay in retirement. And so that deep fear of not being okay in retirement caused him to always fall back on, we should save every dollar. And then that left his spouse feeling like, we're never going to be able to spend any money. We're never going to be able to live out our dreams, right? And they both had the same core idea. They both wanted to be able to say, we want to reach our dreams for the future. We want to have a successful retirement. But their unique individual anxieties, their unique personalities they brought to the table caused them to go about it in such a different way they couldn't agree. Here was the difference maker. When they started seeing actual data, when I was able to run income illustrations and show them, hey, you guys are going to be in good shape. In fact, not only are you going to be in good shape, you've put yourself in a really good position, which they'd never seen illustrated before. And when they could see that illustrated, all of a sudden it went from, we just don't know on the husband's part, therefore we're going to keep the money, to, you know what, actually, maybe we could spend some of this. I'll never forget the wife's statement to him. She said, wait a minute. Does this mean we can actually go out to eat more often? And he had to pause and go, yeah, I think it does. It makes a difference to have good communication here.
Want more of Chris? Give him a follow on Twitter, at CW Burns.
Hey, welcome back. So have you gone to your bank recently and felt like you're trying to be sold something? So I had this experience. I went into the bank a few days ago. I had to do something normal with our banking account, and it was a different branch than I was used to, and it took me an extra 20 minutes to get out of the branch because after I'd done the literally, I just had to do a basic banking transaction in here, and yet the personal banker I was working with spent at least 10 to 15 minutes trying to upsell me on products. Have you had this experience? This has changed a lot over the last few years. It used to truly feel like I'd walk into the bank, I would handle whatever I needed to handle, and then I would leave. Now it feels like I literally cannot talk to anyone, whether it's a teller at the bank, a personal banker, it doesn't matter. It feels like a used car dealership. And we just saw in the news that Wells Fargo was just fined by the Justice Department and the SEC $3 billion for the fake accounts scandal that started way back in 2016. Now, some of you remember this. Many of you are Wells Fargo customers, one of the largest banks in the country. And by the way, the issues that Wells Fargo's having are not confined to Wells Fargo, I promise you that. And yet they've been the highlight because they were caught having created incentives for their employees to open fake accounts. Maybe you remember this. It literally impacted hundreds of thousands of people who had accounts open for them they never asked to open. And the reason for that was the incentive structure that the bank created. So what's going on at banks? Because at its core, think about this for a minute. At its core, you are bringing your money that you have earned. You are bringing it to an institution to hold it for you. How is it that that institution is now making insane amounts of money on you? How much money are you making from them? How well are they doing actually giving money back to you? This has become a massive issue in my mind in our culture. Banks have moved into becoming, and not that they haven't had this in the past, but just profit generation machines often that end up winning on massive amounts of fees that can sometimes turn really ugly like they did with Wells Fargo. But how are you handling this? Are you still at a bank that is mistreating you? What do you do about that? The number is 404-872-0750. If you've had an experience with your bank that's totally turned you off, or if you've seen fees that you don't understand, you're trying to figure out, what do I do about that? I want to dig into this. Again, the number 404-872-0750. So Wells Fargo is getting the flack for all this because truly it was a huge scandal. You may remember a few years ago that we saw they incentivized their workers, they incentivized their employees by saying, look, the more accounts you open, you can have access to bonuses, etc. And that was how they met their numbers. And so what ended up happening, which is the problem, the reality with incentives, whenever you make incentives around something and say, hey, look, if you can reach this number, you get XYZ thing, that can be a good thing. It can also be a dangerous thing. In this case, we saw rampant abuse where folks that worked at Wells Fargo, and by the way, I know folks that work there that are great. I don't mean across the board. It's a huge company. But overall, we see this massive scandal where in the end, all these extra accounts are created that people never asked to create. And now we finally see a settlement of some sort. There's still some room for movement here where Wells Fargo is going to be fined $3 billion. And you may go, wow, that's a lot of money. Holy cow, they're really being nailed here. Just hear this for a minute. I'm not talking about profits, but just revenue. Wells Fargo's annual revenue. Remember, this happened in 2016. In 2017, their revenue was almost $98 billion. 2018, their revenue was over $101 billion, and this last year, their revenue was $104 billion. They can handle a $3 billion fine. In fact, it's not that big of a dent in their overall structure. And so the question becomes, with large financial institutions, how do you protect yourself? How do you make sure you're not being taken advantage of? And it may not be something so overt as an account is fraudulently opened in your name. But how many times have you seen fees that you don't understand, that you didn't even know were going to be fees? Overdraft fees, ATM fees, just keeping your account open because you don't have a direct deposit fee, right? All of these. In fact, Georgia, interestingly enough, has the second highest ATM fees in the country. To give you an idea how deep this has gone, okay? Bankrate just did a study on this. A lot of people think, well, this is changing. Overdraft fees have gone down. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was started a few years ago, has stepped in and kind of curtailed this at banks. Some changes have been made. But in the Bankrate study over all of last year, okay, looking at this, they've seen that overdraft fees, ATM fees, and monthly service fees all went up in 2019. And if you look at a graph on this, it's been a consistent rise year over year for decades now. Banks make an insane amount of money on you, not just on taking your deposit, which we all know. They get your deposit, they lend it out for a higher amount of interest while paying you 0.00001% on your checking account. They're out there getting, you know, whatever they're getting for credit cards, whatever they're getting for mortgages they send out, they're getting a much higher interest rate. So for them, they're winning. They're winning on your deposits. You know that. But how much are they winning on stuff that has nothing to do with your deposits? Overdraft fees are probably my biggest pet peeve. Listen to this. In 2017, Forbes reported Americans paid, it's hard to fathom, $34 billion in overdraft fees. $34 billion in overdraft fees. Friends, think about this for a minute. The bank is taking your hard-earned money. You're out working your tail off. You go make a deposit at the bank saying, why? I want a safe place to put my money. I want to have access to a debit card. Maybe I get a credit card through them. Maybe I get a mortgage through them, whatever. There's some things they're giving me that are great. But in the end, you're giving them your money, right? You're letting them hold on to your money, which is a huge trust issue. And those same banks are making insane amounts of profits on fees that have nothing to do with even taking your money and lending it out, which is traditional bank practice. Overdraft fees, ATM fees, etc. Are you still at a bank that is treating you as though you don't really matter? Because I know I've talked with client after client that I've worked with who have gone to their bank. Maybe they made a mistake, right? They had an account, they had an overdraft or a return check or whatever it was. And they go to their bank and say, hey, is there anything you can do about this? And a lot of banks are at the point of saying, nah, there's really nothing we can do. Or yeah, we can forgive one fee, but that's it. And some banks now have, some regulations around this where they say you can only charge so many fees per day. Some banks don't. Some big banks still allow you to charge, if you have 10 different items that come through as overdrafts, they're going to charge you $35 for every item. And suddenly you're looking at hundreds of dollars in overdraft fees or returned item fees or whatever it is. And that adds up dramatically. And many of us have experienced this. And we just go, well, I guess that's just part of banking. It's not just part of banking. You don't need to sit in that kind of environment. So the question is, what do you do about it? If you're sitting at one of the big banks right now, Okay, and just let's just be honest. SunTrust, which is local to Atlanta, is now Truist. They merged with BB&T. They're in the middle of that. The sixth largest bank in the country now. Okay, so we have a consolidation, a massive consolidation of banks in the last few years after the financial crisis. JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Truist. These are all massive banks now. And there are some protections around this. But in the end, these banks are making insane profits, not just, again, on taking your deposit and loaning it out, but on just the fees they're charging you. Have you gone through and looked at all the different fees that you're paying? It'd be worth you taking a minute and saying, over the course of the last year, how much have I paid in fees to my bank? Because, friends, there is a better way. I'll never forget sitting down with one of my business clients, and we were looking through their business bank account statements, and she said, I'd never really known what this fee is before. And we started looking at the fee, and she had paid hundreds of dollars with this specific fee just in that year, hundreds of dollars over the course of the year. Her account was in good standing. She hadn't done anything crazy. She hadn't overdrafted. It was just this specific type of fee. We called the bank. They said, oh, yeah, well, if you'd had this higher level of bank account, you wouldn't have been charged that. But because you didn't have that higher level of account, you know, we had to charge that, you know, regularly every month. And she sat and said, but nobody ever even told me about there being a higher level bank account. And she just wasn't paying attention enough. And every month out comes these extra fees she knows nothing about. And I wonder how many of us haven't really calculated what amount are we spending in bank charges. Similar to what we just talked about in terms of your relationship with your significant other and how important it is to have actual data to look at there, to be able to say, you know, what's actually going on in our lives that's causing this friction? How are we actually spending our money so we can go from attacking each other to saying, what does it look like to work together? Similarly, if you're working with one of the big banks, have you gone through and audited your own bank statements to say, how much money am I paying in fees? Because there are other options. And a lot of folks don't recognize this. So what does that look like? Well, one significant other option is if you go to an online bank. And a lot of people don't want to do this because they don't feel comfortable. Online banks feel like an anomaly. It's like, well, I can't walk into an actual branch. If I need to deposit cash, it's a little more cumbersome. You know, a bank like Ally Bank or Capital One Bank that doesn't have those branches you can sit and walk into. But here's the deal. Online banks, because they don't have brick and mortar, have cut fees dramatically. So I'll use Ally Bank as an example. Think about this. If you have overdrafts, let's say you have 15 overdrafts. It's a total mistake, right? You have money in the account. The money doesn't flow in at the right time. One big expense comes through you didn't realize, and then everything else you spent that day, you got a smoothie for $3. And normally, if you were at one of the big banks, that would have been a $35 charge on top of the $3 because they covered the charge or whatever. Ally says, no, look, if you have overdrafts, we're just going to charge you one fee per day. So you've now cut your fees by hundreds of dollars. They also say, hey, if you have ATM fees, we're going to cover those. So wherever you, if you have to get money out of an ATM, you can use any ATM in the country. We will cover the fees on that. You've now reduced your fees dramatically. And that's online banks. There's also local banks and credit unions. There's not as many as there used to be, but they're starting to come back. One, I'm admittedly biased about this, but if you're in Atlanta, Vinings Bank, I'm on their advisory board, so I can tell you, I watch what they're doing. I see how they practice. Same deal. They don't charge ATM fees. In fact, if you overdraft with Vinings Bank, they don't even charge you a fee. They give you a phone call. What does that look like? They actually call you and say, hey, what's going on? Can we help? Is there something? Is there a problem? It's like it used to be, where it's actually about you being valued as a customer instead of calling one of the big banks when you get tons of fees and them saying, well, sorry, nothing we can do about it. That's just regulations. We really can't do anything. No, they can do something. They just choose not to do anything because they're making billions of dollars in fees on it. Why should they change if we keep giving them our business?
Get Chris's daily email to stay up to date on all financial news by signing up at dynamicmoney.com.
I mean, I get it. Some of you like fees. Some of you just like giving money away, especially to large, massive financial institutions who already are making billions of dollars. And so you just enjoy that process. But for the rest of us, have you looked at the fees you're paying your bank? Because there are other options out there. So many people I talk to say, I'm not making any change. And I ask them why. It's just too difficult. It's too hard to make a change. But then we go through their accounts. They might have spent $1,000 in fees. And some of you go, that's way different. Maybe you only have $80 in fees. But I meet people regularly with hundreds of dollars in fees. But it's too much work to change. It's too much work. You know what? Pay me hundreds of dollars. I'll change it for you. It's not that hard to change accounts. You can do it. In fact, the banks would love to help you move your money over. Online banks, local banks, like I said, like Vinings Bank, but there's also other local community banks, even credit unions. Check these places out because they would love to assist you in making the move and watch yourself take more of your money and use it for your dreams and your priorities instead of just handing it over to people that are making billions of dollars and fees on you. That's the beauty of free markets. You don't have to just give them your money. So start looking at other options if you realize you're being taken advantage of by your bank because it happens on a disturbingly regular basis. All right, we're going to jump in our lightning round quickly. I can answer at least one question. Jen wrote in and said, hey, we've created a budget, but we're having a hard time sticking with it. What do you recommend? This is no different than New Year's resolutions where I say I'm going to get healthy. Doggone it, this is the year I'm going to get healthy, and then 2 days later I drive by Chick-fil-A, they've got great milkshakes, and I'm done, right? The key to sticking with anything is it a realistic budget? Okay, is it something realistic? B, are you tracking it? Are you actually looking at this is how we're spending the money instead of just saying we're gonna create a budget and run with it? What's the mechanism for tracking it? And three, where is the community of people supporting you in it? Is it just you? Is it just you and your spouse? Or do you have a group of people around you? Whether that is, again, working with a financial planner or maybe a community group at an organization you're a part of. But where is their support and accountability? Those things take it from being an idea, we want to have this, to something you can actually sustainably follow through on. I love that you're creating a budget. If you want to follow through on it, it's all about tracking it, making it realistic, and having community support you, because then that's where you'll see a real difference maker. Hey, if you want to hear more questions answered every week on our podcast, we not only play this show, but we have a whole podcast that's beyond the show where we dig into questions we couldn't cover as well as topics we didn't get to. So I invite you, just search for the Chris Burns podcast on any podcast provider and you can listen to Beyond the Show. If you're not getting our daily update, just go to dynamicmoney.com. Every day we send out a 1 minute update that just talks about exactly what's going on in the world. How does that filter down to your situation? Friends, thanks so much for listening. Please remember this. In the end, regardless of anything else going on, that your life and your future are so much more than money.